Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. And in his only begotten Son, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 116. Let us sing first from Psalter 229, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me the tabernacles of thy grace. Oh, how I long, yea, faint to see thy hallowed courts, thy dwelling place. For thee my heart and spirit sigh, for thee, O living God, I cry. 229, stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
Before we read from God's holy word, we wish to read from the law. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning the mourning family who has stood before the open grave in this past week also, Mr. Henry Van Sluis, who had surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, and thou bringest us together. And we may acknowledge thee therefore. And for it is from our side so undeserving. And for thou knowest all that lays within the inmost recesses of our hearts. Thou knowest what our life is. There is nothing that is secret from thee. And thou knowest that we deserve to be left to ourselves and to go our own way and to be deprived of the means of grace. And then also what is in the life of thy children. And then they deserve also to be deprived of that strength that thou hast set aside for thy church, because they have departed from thee not once nor twice, but these many times, even days without number. And yet thou dost gather thy church together, and thou sayest unto them, do this in remembrance of me, when thou wilt set before them time and again those tokens of thy love, wherewith thou hast furnished thy church, that they may know what thou thinkest concerning them, that they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, and how necessary in the midst of this life for thy people. For a sin that seems always to be gaining the upper hand, and then there is for them no hope except that thou takest it over from thy side, and at a time and again to show unto thy people that it is a work that is finished, and that there is from their side nothing required. It is all accomplished in and through thine only begotten Son. Oh, for but an eye to see it in this morning hour. For those who must say, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Thou knowest, Lord, where they are. We beseech thee especially in this morning. For thy dear people, and they are thine. Thou hast called them with that irresistible calling of thy Holy Spirit, and thou hast brought them into the strife. And thou knowest what that strife is. And then they cannot win that warfare in their own strength. It is so necessary to be upheld by thee, to be taught by thee, instructed by thee, led by thee moment by moment. And then it is felt by them also in this morning hour. Oh, do give unto them that cry, oh, unto me, O Lord Jehovah. Show thy ways and teach thou me. So that by thy Spirit guided, clearly I thy paths may see. O wilt thou grant that there may be those who do long as in the days of old, thy power and glory to behold within thy holy place, that it may also be opened unto them, who with the multitude in days gone by have rejoiced in coming to thy house. But then they know not where to find it yet in this day, because it can be that they experience and will be, that they experience that it is a wilderness journey. And then it is necessary that they are receiving that manna from above, because there is nothing to eat here below. Lord, that thou would feed thy people, that the meek may eat and that they may be satisfied, and that thou wouldst give them to drink out of that rock that followed them. Oh, that thou may look upon all the congregation. Oh, and in this morning hour, that dividing line in an imperfect way in this world will again be drawn. Not between the world and the church, not the walls of the church, but that line that is going through the church. Then it is no perfect line here below, but it is yet a line that thou sayest does exist. Because in that kingdom there are wheat and tares, and there are wise and there are foolish virgins, and there are good fishes and there are bad fishes. O Lord, we beseech thee in this morning, and for eyes to see, for hearts to understand, all for that life that is from above, that can only come from thee, and whereby we will begin to hunger and to thirst after righteousness, that we might be filled. And wilt thou cause new ones in this morning hour to be born in Zion? Oh, that there may go in this morning an arrow out of thy heavenly quiver, and by the power of thy Holy Spirit, to strike in a heart this morning. Oh, to show a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, and what they are missing upon that journey to that great eternity. What a treasure that there is above all the treasures, the gold and the silver in this world. A treasure for the heart, that can go with a man in this life and can go out of this life with him too, to a great eternity. Oh, that the hearts may be struck by thy love, that it may lead to true repentance, and that there may be those that are brought unto thee for the first time to cry, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Remember all of those that are not able to be with us. Thou knowest their reasons. Thou knowest many sicknesses. Oh, that thou may supply for the sick. Grant thou health. Grant thou strength. As thou art that heavenly physician, not only for the soul, but also for the body. Teach us the frailty of our bodies. That we are dying creatures, that we have a body that is going into the grave, and that we may be given understanding hearts, that we may not continue to be like the beasts that perish. Wilt thou remember those that are afflicted with serious diseases, those that lay in the hospitals, those that receive treatments? Wilt thou look upon them in all their needs? Could it please thee to supply and to hear their cry when that fear of death that is mounting, when the message is coming home, set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. Wilt thou look upon all those that may listen in this morning by church telephone, wherever that they may be? Oh, that thou may thyself look upon them and supply for them in the places where they are in their own homes. And could it please thee to grant a blessing also there, that thou may remember all thy truly sent servants. Lord, grant unto each and every one of them what is necessary in the bringing of thy word this day, and that thy word may be given to go forth with power in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation in this world amongst Jew and Gentile, and that thou may cause thy kingdom to come, thy will to be done in thy name, to receive all the honor and all the glory. Be thou with those that mourn, as standing by an open grave. Thou knowest all their sorrow and all their cares. And wilt thou bring that calling home, and cause it to be a death that is yet unto life. And wilt thou remember our brother, also who has received surgery in the week that is gone by. Thou hast thus far made all things well, and he is dependent upon thee for the healing of his body. Supply thou for him, as thou alone art able. And wilt thou remember us in this day. Lord, we are gathered round thy word of truth, and thy holy sacrament is to be administered. Oh, we ask of thee help from the sanctuary. Oh, we ask of thee in the first place for a measure of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, that thou may give to us what we do not have, and that we also forfeit time and again as thy servant. Oh, thou hast promised I have put my words in thy mouth. Oh, cause us then to believe in thee. Cause us then to trust in thee for all things, to leave everything in thy hands in this hour. And cause that thy word and may go forth with power and with sweetness, that thy word may be in this morning a food and drink for thy people, that may receive in this morning a little appetite, a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst that also alone comes from thee, and for the first time or by renewal. Lord, that thou mayest supply for us in the need of our body. Thou knowest everything. Lord, strengthen us for this hour and help us to be able to do this labor, that it may be experienced in this hour to be a labor of love. Oh, that we may feel something of the sweetness of thy presence, of thy nearness, and of thy favor. We cannot do without it as thy servant. Oh, that savor of thy sweet ointments, that may go forth in the midst of the congregation, and that there may also be a holy jealousy among those who are strangers of that portion, and that they may be given to long, even as a Ruth of old, as a Moabitess, as an outsider, to say, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. Oh, do it, Lord. We do not deserve it. We have forfeited everything. Take reasons out of thyself. Look upon us in thy mercy. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. And what follows, we announced that at the male members meeting in this past week, the following were chosen for the offices. For the office of elder, Mr. Garrett Van Heerden. For the office of deacon, Mr. Henry Van Sluis. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by December the 30th. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. 163. All stanzas. congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in Joshua 20, the last part of verse 7. Joshua 20, and the last part of verse 7. And Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. So far, the words of our text. We have heard congregation of two cities. Two cities that were appointed as cities of refuge. That was Kadesh, that was in the north. That is the holy place that was for an unholy manslayer. We have heard also of Shechem that was in the center of the land and yet on the west of the Jordan. Shechem, that is shoulder. That is a shoulder for them who fear that that burden of sin that will sink them lower than the grave, even into Tophet. And now in this morning we hear of Hebron or Kirjath Arba, or it is sometimes also called Mamre, that is three names for that same place. That is now in the south, yet on the west of the Jordan, approximately 20 miles south of the city of Jerusalem. That was the dwelling place of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And they have been buried there with their wives in that cave of Machpelah, except then for Rachel. Later on, the Anakims, the sons of Anak, they came to dwell in this place. And the father of Anak, it was called Arba. Therefore, we have also that place sometimes being called Kirjath Arba, or the city of Arba. The city was visited by the spies. They have taken of the grapes of Eshcol, which is near unto this Hebron. And this place that was given unto Caleb, who has driven out the three sons of Anak and has himself probably renamed this city Hebron. And later on, that city that has been appointed as one of the cities of refuge, that is our subject of consideration in this morning. We wish to consider the refuge city of Hebron. First, the need for Hebron. Second, the appointment of Hebron. And third, the preciousness of Hebron. The refuge city of Hebron, first the need, second the appointment, third the preciousness of Hebron. Hebron means what? Hebron means confederacy, or a league, or an association. Thus, a confederacy. What is a confederacy? That is a number of individuals, a number of groups, a number of nations, perhaps, that are united. They are united together for one purpose, a common purpose between them. And that is that they may appoint or may draw up some kind of a league between them. Thus, a league. What is that? That is a compact. That is a contract that is for the purpose of prospering, of forwarding that one common purpose. Thus, an association, a gathering, a coming together, a joining, a uniting of persons together, that they may associate one with the other, that there may be a relation that is between them, so that there is fellowship, so that there is companionship, so that there is communion between them. Beautiful name, beautiful meaning, especially as it is appointed to be by the Lord a city of refuge for that manslayer. Because what is it representing? It is representing that communion. It is representing that association. It is representing that relation that is now between the Lord and His people. Thus, in the first place, and we say the need for Hebron, and then we see a man who is running. That man who is running for his life. That man who is stopping by times to ask this one or that one, do you know the way? Unto Hebron. Oh, that man, he is a manslayer. And that manslayer, he has come to feel something of the breaking of that union. He has come to feel something of that breaking of that communion. And what does he fear? Well, he fears the avenger of blood. Because if that avenger of blood will now come upon him before that he reaches that city of Hebron, then that separation that is going to have to be endured by him forever, then his life will be cut off in the midst of that separation. And so, congregation, we see a man. We see a man whose eyes have been opened. His eyes have been opened for something that he has lost. Something that he experiences in his heart that he once had. But now he has it no more. Then within himself, then he can feel something of that separation between the Lord and his soul, that he no longer may commune with him, that relation is broken, and that he has once enjoyed in paradise. Oh, he sees something. What does he see? He sees what is seen there in that tabernacle. Then he cannot see into that Holy of Holies. And then inside there is the dwelling place of that Most High God. But what is before that Holy of Holies? That is that thick veil that is hanging there, that is making that separation between God and his soul. Then his eyes do see. Then his ears do hear. But the Lord is saying unto his servant Moses, that no man shall see my face and live. Then he is seeing that angel that the Lord has placed before that garden. that angel with that flaming sword that is turning every way to keep that way of the tree of life. And then he sees something of that justice of the Lord. He sees something of that righteousness of the Lord. He sees something of that holiness of the Lord. Or he sees something of the reason that he is on the outside, that he has been sent forth by the Lord because of his own choice, that he has chosen the way of the devil, and that he has chosen communion with him, that he has chosen a relation with him, and that he has chosen to listen to him, and that he has chosen to receive from him suggestions, and that his heart that has become one in union with sin and with the world and with the devil. And yet, then he feels something of that missing his maker, missing his creator, longing that he may come once again into that communion. Because there is nothing in this whole world that is able to fill that place. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee. And what does he fear? Oh, he fears that if he shall die in this way, and then it shall be for him eternal woe. And then he will perish in that state apart from God. Oh, and then how much worse that it shall become, because here there is something of that hope in life, but there. And then all hope shall be cut off when he shall fall into that place where hope shall never come. Hebron, association, fellowship, communion. Oh, how often has he not heard of it in his life? How often in the days of his youth, and then he has been brought up and heard from mother and father what is now that name of that city and the blessedness of that city. But there was in his heart no desire. There was in his heart no need. But it has become so different. It has become so different because he has become a manslayer. Or he has in this way now begun to understand wherein wherefore that separation is. That there is a guilt that is standing in the way. Oh, how different that it has become in his life. How different it has become in his soul. With the longings of his heart. With the desires of his soul. With the fears of his heart. Oh, Hebron, association, communion, fellowship. Oh, is that really now still possible? Is there now yet still a way? And that is a city that he hears that has been appointed by the Lord himself. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. That was the words of the Lord unto the devil. That was what the Lord has spoken before our first parents have been sent out of paradise. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. That is now the first promise of the Lord to that fallen race of Adam. That is that first promise of the Lord concerning his son which was to come. That first promise of the Lord, of that Son of God who would be born in the flesh. That first promise of the Lord, of that babe which would be laid in Bethlehem's manger. That Advent's people that has begun here yet in paradise. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Enmity. What is enmity? Enmity, that is hatred. O woman, you have chosen Satan. You have chosen sin. You have chosen to depart from me. Your love that is now placed on my enemy. But I will put enmity between thee and the woman. I will put a hatred there. I will break that relation. I will break that association that you have now transacted with that devil. I will make her to long for me, and I will make her to hate you. I will make her hard to yearn after a new relation, after a new fellowship, after a new communion. No, it was not Adam who was the first to long for the Lord. No, he has fled from him in his sin and in his guilt. But here we see it is the Lord. It is the Lord who is the Alpha. It is the Lord who is the Omega. When that man is lying there in his sin, when that man he is fleeing away from the Lord, then the Lord he is coming. And he is saying, I will do something. I will put enmity. I will break that relation. And I will restore another relation, another communion. Oh, when was that? That was not after the fall. No, that was actually in eternity itself. Thus the foundation for that communion that is lying there, that is lying in an eternal covenant, that is lying in an eternal compact, it is lying in an eternal league. That is a covenant that is within the Godhead. That is a covenant that is between the Father and the Son. Unshakable, unbreakable, immovable. A covenant that it has its foundation in the good pleasure of the Father. The salvation of the church of God that is lying in the interest of the triune God, of that Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Oh, that is a triune God. These three we read are one. The Lord Jesus, he says, I and my Father are one. John says there are three that bear record in heaven. the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Oh, what a unity. What a unity. A unity that we cannot comprehend. A unity, three in one, and one in three. Not a created unity, but it is an eternal unity. Forever together, and never to be separated. And then, together making a league, together making a compact, concerning whom? Concerning that church. With one end, that has one purpose. And what is that purpose? That is communion. Communion. That is unfathomable. That is that God, He would create a creature who was in His own image. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Why? That we may have communion with Him. That was so far above the creation of the animals and the inanimate creation. A man in His own image. Did now the fall break this? Did the fall now disrupt this? As if the Lord could not receive any more that purpose for which that He had created man? Impossible. No. That will serve. That is lying in His decree. No blessed fall, no. But the Lord has decreed it for this purpose. That he may raise that man into a union, into a communion with Himself that would not be possible in that first covenant. Thus we see in our last thought the preciousness of Hebron and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron in the mountain of Judah. Hebron. Association. Communion. Again, with whom? With that guilty manslayer. How? Moses. He said, a prophet shall the Lord raise up unto thee. Of your brethren. Of your brethren. Like unto me. Isaiah, he says, there shall come a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That is a confirmation of that first promise. As time went on, and as that Advent people, they had to wait 4,000 years. Have you waited a long time, people of the Lord? 4,000 years before that promise is fulfilled. And in that 4,000 years, then there were moments, little moments, that the Lord is coming in the midst of His church to confirm unto them what He has said from the beginning, that He was going to break that relation, and that He was going to make a new relation, and that He was going to bring His children into a closer relation unto Himself. than was ever possible through that old covenant. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, that is God with us. That is God and man in one person. Thus, a union, an association, a communion that had never existed in the world. A union between divinity and humanity. An association, a relation. God and man together in one blessed person. No, not in a flesh that he has brought with him from heaven. No, not even in a flesh which was like Adam's before the fall in its perfection. But what do we read? In the likeness of sinful flesh. No, not in sinful flesh, but in the likeness of sinful flesh. That is, not having sin, but bearing the consequences of that sin, and in that flesh to be united in a blessed union with the Godhead himself, in that flesh to represent his church, in that flesh to pay their price, in that flesh to fulfill that law, in that flesh to bear the reproach, to bear the shame of his church, in that flesh to take away that separation between God and his people, and to bring them again into his blessed communion. And Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. Hebron. Association. Communion. Oh, do you understand something of the preciousness of that city unto that manslayer? What the Lord, he is revealing in that child unto that people. Is it not understandable that people, when they have once seen something, the smallest part of what that union is, how they will desire that they may come into that city, that they may be united, as it were, to that city, that they may live within that city, that they may be engrafted into Christ. Christ says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Or is that now not the need of that people? That it may be a personal union. That it may be also a personal communion with that Son of God in the flesh. What are they made? Oh, they are made, we read, members of his body. That is a more intimate communion than was ever possible in that first covenant. When man had obeyed that law, then he had been the friend of God to all eternity. But now, through that fall, he is made the member of the body, the very body of Christ himself. That is Hebron. That is association. That is fellowship. That is communion. What did Christ say to his people? He says, I am married unto you. What do we read about marriage? We read that two become one flesh. One flesh. That is one flesh with Emmanuel. One flesh with God himself. That is Hebron, communion, fellowship, association, compact, league. Oh, do you see the desire of the Advent people? And is that now also a desire that is living in your heart? That is the desire of a people who are on the outside of that city and who desire that they may come on the inside of that city, because the preciousness of that city, of that communion, of that fellowship that is revealed unto their soul, then they have seen just a little bit how that it is not appointed by man, but it is appointed by God himself. And ye shall make unto you cities of refuge. And then how suitable, oh, how necessary, how precious that this city has become. No, not deserving, not deserving. And yet, so suitable in congregation, if we are then not a stranger of that smallest part, and if we cannot deny this in this morning, the suitability, the necessity, the preciousness of that city, of that communion that is to be found in that Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, then we say, do not deny this in this morning hour. What does he say? If a man love me, he will keep my commandments. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Our abode with him. We will dwell with him. Oh, is that now your desire? He says, I will dwell with them. I will walk with them. I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Hebron. Amen. We will now read the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, which can be found on page 60 or 136 in the back of your Psalter.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with a bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he had laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord and sects and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh, yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief, and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins. That he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded. That he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally, confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness toward you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you. And as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness and glory. Besides, that we by the same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, for we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries, being pressed together, one wine floweth, and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed, towards one another. Hereto assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen.
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts, through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate, at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 159, all stanzas. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. When I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, that higher is than I. 1-4, Psalter 159. Thank you. Hebron, communion, association, congregation. It did not begin with Christ, but it has begun with the Father. That the Father has sought a way, and that He has searched how that it would be possible to bring that people into that blessed communion with Himself in a relation so close that it was not possible in any other way than to send forth His only begotten Son. And so He has asked, who shall go for us? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. And then we hear the Son giving Himself, here I am, send me. And so it has been accomplished. And now the Son, He does say unto His Father, Father, where is now that inheritance that Thou hast promised unto me? Because why? Because He desires communion. Because He desires fellowship. And therefore, He has instituted this Holy Supper. And that He has said to His church, do this in remembrance of me. And therefore, this table is now open. Why? Because the Son, He says that with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And then He is calling, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Oh, come then, is there here in our midst an answer of the heart unto the desire of the Father? Is there an answer of the heart unto the desire of the Son? An answer to the desire of the Father that says that I cannot bear that separation without God in the world, without my Maker, without my Creator. An answer to that desire of the Son, that longing for Hebron by a guilty manslayer. And that though from His side everything is lost, yet He says, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Come then, for the table is prepared, and all things are ready. Congregation, I read in God's word that there was a woman who had a desire also to have a part with Him, but she did not dare. She did not dare because of the multitude that were all about him. And she felt herself to be so unclean that she said, "What will that multitude say?" Do you know what she desired? She said, "Oh, if there was only no multitude, if there was only no people." And then she came, and she came behind so that no one could see her. And then, only stooping very low, she has touched but the hem of his garment. And then she felt something. Oh, she experienced something. That there was something that went out from him that was so suitable for her. And with this, she was so glad. And with this, she went away. She went away? No. He said, "Go not away. Stop a moment. Stop a moment. Who is it who has touched me? Oh, who is it that has seen something of that preciousness? Who is it that has felt something in their own secret place, in their own secret chamber?" Now he says, "Tell it. Tell it to this people, not for your sake, but for my sake, that my name may receive all the honor and the glory. Oh, if there may be yet among us such ones, then there is still room." Are there any more that desire to show forth that death of the Lord till he come? Then we close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. (Clears throat) remember and believe that the blood of Christ was poured out for the complete remission of all our sins. And our child shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Salvation, what is it? Salvation that is to be delivered from the greatest evil and to be brought unto the highest good. And what is now the greatest evil? That is sin. And wherefore is it the greatest evil? Because it is separating between God and our soul. And now to give knowledge. To give knowledge of salvation. What is that? To be able to experience something of what that salvation is. What a wonder in our life if the Lord may give us one moment where we may experience something of that blessed communion with him. Knowledge of that salvation, how is it? It is by the remission of their sins. How long have we not tried it elsewise? How long and how often again do we not try it, salvation in another way, to please him? And every time that we fall, then are we discouraged. But he says, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Oh, that visit, what was it for? It was for communion. It is the visit of the Son of God upon the earth. For a few years, then he will come, because outside of that visit of his Son, there is no way wherein that people can be brought into that blessed communion again. Thus it has begun in that eternal good pleasure of the Father, where he has sought out that way, and wherein that Son, he has agreed to come in the flesh. Why in the flesh? Because that divinity, that it cannot take on itself our sin. Oh, it was so necessary that he take on him our flesh in order that he may also bear our sin. And then to come as a babe, a little babe in that manger. And why a babe? Oh, to show that he has set aside something of his divine attributes, not his divine nature, but hiding those divine attributes behind the veil of his human nature. Oh, that as a very little child, then he is coming into this world. And then not only as such a little child, but also in a manger. Also in the poverty that is to feel, to bear the consequences of the sin of that church. And to appear unto men as if he were a sin. What a humility. What a lowliness to come so in the form of a servant. And then in that flesh to bear. To fulfill all the justice of God. To endure the punishment. To fulfill all righteousness. To completely take up that law in all its standard of perfection and to bring it to its end, and so to bring that people again into communion with himself, when he may say, "It is finished." And now, how is it from our side when the Father, he has a desired communion, and when the Son, and he desires that communion, then how is it from our side? Is it not so often that in the midst of this world, that it is a heart that is so hard and so cold and so taken up with this world, so that the treasures of heaven, they are not glittering in all their beauty, so that the desire, and that is so often waxing cold. And then it is again from his side that he must put in his hand by that hole of the door and say, "Rise up, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night." And then in the heart there is a drawing. Then there is a little desire again, even as it was in the days gone by, even with the multitude that we have come up with joy and praise on God's holy day. And then that you are saying even unto others, "Oh, if you find my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love. Oh, tell him that my heart burns after him and that I desire to be brought once more into that banqueting house, and that his banner over me may be love, and that I may come even unto that mercy seat, where he may bestow upon me all his love." Oh, what is the purpose of that holy table? The Lord, he desires to commune. He desires to have something of that relation more and more with his children. Should it not then, and when he does show unto us his love in all these tokens, that broken body and that poured out blood, and when he bestows upon his church such a love, ought it not then to make us, as it were, to shine up again? Oh, that our hearts may go out after him in a daily desire after his communion and a daily taking refuge in that blessed city of Hebron. Let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Afterwards, the communicants may return to their seats. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own, to keep me near thy side. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 203.
Sweet communion.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who have not spared his own Son, but delivered him up for us all and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth, forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us close with singing Psalter 371, stanzas 1 and 2. Behold how pleasant and how good that we, one Lord confessing, together dwell in brotherhood, our unity expressing. 1 and 2 of Psalter 371.
Praise Him above.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.